Isaiah chapter 32 this morning. Yeah, welcome at home, blessings on you. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king will reign righteously, and princes will rule justly. Each will be like a refuge from the wind and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry country, like the shade of a huge rock in a parched land. Heavenly Father, may we have an ear to hear this morning what the Spirit is saying to the church. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to know, and a will to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You can be seated. In 1960, about 75% of Americans trusted the government, and that number now is down to 25%. So there's been a woeful erosion of trust. 78 members of Congress are accused of illegal stock market trading. And just in the 2020s, just in the last 3 years, 58 state and local politicians have been convicted of fraud. And so no wonder institutional trust has plummeted when it comes to the government. Also, many other institutions also, but since I'm the one preaching here, we'll talk about, we'll use that as an illustration there. Now, I don't know what a poll would look like in Judah. Isaiah here, he ministered during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. And so I don't know if you were to take a poll in Judah, you know, hey, we thought this was a godly king, that was an ungodly king, he was effective, he was ineffective. I don't know what it would look like, but there were a series there of some fickle kings and princes. Even Hezekiah, a godly king, he didn't follow Isaiah's counsel. Isaiah said, don't make an alliance with Egypt to protect you against the Assyrian Empire. And Hezekiah, he went against the word of the Lord. He went against Isaiah's prophecies, and he went ahead and he tried to make an alliance with Egypt that didn't work out. So again, I don't know how the poll would look like, but the kings there, they did not follow God fully, and they brought the country into a difficult place. But now Isaiah says here, hey, listen, guys, we're going to have a just king. We're going to have righteous princes. You're going to have government you can trust. Can you imagine that? Government that you can trust. Isaiah says here, no more funny business whatsoever. Because Isaiah knew, the Bible teaches that rulers are to be servants. In fact, that phrase, prime minister, prime means what? Number one, primo. You know, if you grew up where I grew up, primo means number one, and minister is just to serve. The prime minister in England, he should be the first servant, the servant of all, the servant of servants. And so our passage here, it speaks of righteous reign and just rule. And as Isaiah, looked around him, Israel, the northern 10 tribes, they're about to go into captivity and exile because of the unrighteous reign of the kings in Israel. And he looks at Judah, and he looks at the so-so godliness of the kings there. And God tells him there's a day coming where there's not going to be any more funny business. There's going to be government that you can trust, kings and rulers that you can trust. Now, one who judges righteously is someone who pays attention to God. He goes to the very top. And one who judges justly pays attention to man. He gets to the bottom of a situation, the bottom of a matter. Did you know, have you ever talked to someone who just couldn't be bothered by what's going on in your life? And you go, of course I do. I'm married. No, that's you. All of you have wonderful spouses. But I've talked to people that they really don't care about hearing me out. And you've probably had people who don't care about hearing you out either. Because the position they have, king, prince, whatever it is, the position is for them. It's not for the people. But here, the righteous rule and the just reign, it's for people. It's not for them. The servants are there for the other people. The leaders are there for others and not for themselves. You know, when a position is held for personal gain, there's no justice. There's no righteousness. When a position is held for personal gain, that person, he could care less about what God thinks. He could care less about what you think, what man thinks. All he cares about is what can I get from this? But Isaiah says there's a day coming where there's no more funny business, where there's going to be government rulership that truly is a servanthood, government and rulership that you can trust. So, in our text here, it says, behold, a king will reign righteously. And ultimately, that refers to Jesus Christ. Christ is the king reigning righteously because he possesses all of the attributes of a righteous king, which are enumerated here in verses 1 and 2. Christ is the king that's ruling righteously. What is or what are the attributes of righteous rule? Well, first of all, we're told there in verse 2, that each, meaning the kings and the princes, will be a refuge from the wind. Christ is a hiding place from the wind. All the stuff that might blow you away, Christ is a hiding place. A hiding place so much that those things are not felt. Just 2 weeks ago, I was invited to do a men's retreat at Calvary Chapel, Wichita. And so I taught the retreat, and then Sunday morning, I did their services. And then 2 weeks ago on Sunday, after service, I went and got a rental car. And I'd never been, I'd driven through Kansas once, and I can't remember a thing about it. This was back in 1982. So I got a rental car, and I just drove through Kansas and Nebraska and South Dakota. But at the motels I stopped at, I'd go up to the desk, and then to my right, it would say shelter room, and it would point with an arrow. I said, well, what's that for? And they said, well, for the tornadoes that come through here. You need to have a shelter from the wind. And that's exactly who and what Jesus Christ is. He's a hiding place that keeps you from being blown away, from being blinded, from becoming lost, from becoming battered. You know, the kind of wind that he's talking about here, ladies, isn't, you know, don't roll down the window in the car because it might get windy and I'll muss up my hair. It's not that kind of wind at all. This wind was an existential threat. This wind could end your life. It could blind you. It could batter you. It could lead you astray. This is the kind of wind that you need a protection from. Back in Israel, back in the desert country, they know what wind can do. We've all seen the mummy movies, I think, at least, where the huge sandstorm is coming, you know. You need protection from that. And Christ is a hiding place that keeps you from being blown away, being blinded, from becoming lost and being battered. There was the woman caught in adultery, and they dragged her before Jesus. And there was this wind of judgment blowing that threatened her life. And she found in Jesus a refuge from that destructive wind, from that was ready to suck her up into death. He didn't stop the accusations because the guys were saying, you know, here's a woman who was caught in adultery in the very act. He didn't stop the accusations, but the condemnation. He took his stand between those that would accuse and condemn her and the woman himself. And you have a Jesus who always intercedes for you. You have a Jesus who stands in heaven, and he constantly prays for you and me. The Spirit constantly prays for you and me because he knows what the heart of God is. There's this constant protection from the wind. You know, when we get to heaven, I don't know if the Lord's going to do this. In one way, I hope not. He's going to, because we've all heard the sermons, the Lord's going to show you this video of your life. And I'm going, oh, no. Because I wouldn't be in heaven if he showed a video of my life, you know. And so, but every place where you were protected from unseen problems, you know, stuff that was going to wipe you out, you didn't even know it. Because Christ intervened. Christ intercepted that hurricane, that cyclone, that wind, that tornado, that typhoon. and Christ was a refuge from the wind. We're also told there in verse 2 that Christ is a shelter from the storm. We know that there on the Sea of Galilee when that storm blew up so quickly. And the disciples thought, man, boat is being swamped, we're going to sink. Don't you care? They woke up Jesus and he said, hush, peace, be still. And Christ was their refuge. Christ was their shelter from the storm. And there's stuff in your life that can blow in suddenly. I was just talking to, I got a call from one of our children's ministry directors this morning. I said, oh, you sound sick. Yeah, I am. And she said the other children's ministry director is sick too. And a couple of teachers got sick. And so Dan and Leslie are back there and whoever else is serving. So be sure to thank them this morning. But Dan told me the stomach flu, it comes on like in a second. It's like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And oop, you turn green like instant. Most of us, I think I'm getting sick, you know, or I don't feel so well. But it turns out to be nothing. Sometimes it sets in. But this thing just grabs you right away. That's the kind of wind that blew up here in the Sea of Galilee. And they were just caught unawares. But Christ stilled the storm for them. You know, and all of us have had trials with children, with finances, with health. You know, some of these things that just blow up immediately. Everything's fine, then you get a call from school, or you get a call from the police, or you get a call from your doctor. You look at your checkbook and you see that you're overrun. You know, so many things can happen suddenly. These storms well up in life. Christ is the shelter from the storm. And I know that as myself and my wife and I and our family, as we've gone through trouble with children, trouble with finances, challenges with health, Christ has been our shelter the whole time. And I feel like the storm is whirling all around me, but it's not touching me because Christ is keeping me. And I know for so many of you, there's stuff going on right now. And yet you're like in the eye of the storm. You're in the heart of Christ. You're abiding in Christ. And Christ is the shelter from the storm for you. That's what Jesus wants to be for you. That's what Jesus has been and always will be for you. A shelter from the storm. No more funny business, Jesus says. I'm here to bless you. I'm here to surround you. We sang that song, The Blessing. He is above you, before you, below you, behind you. He's all around you. That's the Christ who blesses you, who protects you, who's a shelter for you. And you can take refuge this morning in Jesus. We abide in Christ. That's what the Bible says. Or we are in Christ. Let's abide in Christ and all that He is and all that He should be to us. Also, we're told there in verse 2 that Christ is like streams of water in a dry country. We're told that Israel came into the wilderness after the Exodus from Egypt, and there was no water. And they cried out, Lord, it's because you hate us. You brought us into this dry place. And Moses spoke to the rock, and the rock gave forth water. And Paul the Apostle said that rock was Christ. Christ watered them in times of drought. And some of you are in times of drought right now, and life is being sucked out of you. Death is stalking you. You don't know how you're going to get out of this, but the Bible says here that there's a king in your life who's going to rule righteously, and he's like streams of water in a desert land. Christ will water your life. And I've been in dry places, and yet my soul's been wet, you know, the whole time. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me and what? Come to me and drink. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. We know that Paul and Silas were down in jail midnight in Philippi there. But there was a stream of water flowing in their soul. Christ was watering them. And they just began to sing, praise God, down there in the prison. And the doors came open. You know the story. Because Christ was a stream of water for them in their desert place. Christ is streams of water for you. And so many of you could testify to that. And so many of you need Christ to be that for you. And he will be. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus, I believe you that you want to water me right where I'm at. You're in a dry place. And it seems like life is being sucked out around you. Again, children, finances, health, relationships. And yet you're rejoicing in the Lord. He will give you the peace that passes all understanding. Which means I'm in a place right now I shouldn't be joyful. I'm in a place right now I should be tearing my hair. Well, maybe that's why I don't have it. I've been in those places, you know. But I should be tearing my hair out or tearing someone else's hair out. I should be anxious. I should be oppressed. I should be worried. But I'm not. I got this big dumb smile on my face because I believe Christ is watering my soul. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything, and the peace that passes all comprehension shall guard your heart and your mind. That stream that flows will guard your heart. There is a river that makes glad the city of God, is what the book of Psalms says. And may that river make your soul glad this morning. Also, the last phrase of verse 2, Christ is like the shade of a huge rock in a parched land. I love that. Moses said, the psalmist said this in Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, as I look at our nation in moral freefall, as I look at some of the legislation that has been proposed, some of the legislation that's been pursued, some of the legislation that's been passed, back in the desert time here, you know, they needed a shade from the sun, that burning sun. I was hiking. The worst thing I ever did in my life was hike the Grand Canyon, and I got to the bottom, and I really, you know, there's people that die every year there, and I thought I was going to be one. It was 120 in the shade. That's us preachers, we're known for hyperbole. Okay. That's not hyperbole. That's not stretching, you know, the truth to make a point. It was 120. And I found myself crawling under a rock just to get its shade. And I thought, well, there might be rattlesnakes in there. I didn't care. I was so exhausted. There might be scorpions that lame me for life. I don't care. I had to get away from, the sun was my worst enemy. I needed shade. And some of you, man, you're just, the heat of trials and the difficulties and the challenges you're going through. Christ is like a huge rock. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And as I see our nation, to me, just going to heck. Can I say that? Okay. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd say hell. But since I'm a pastor, I can't say that. I'm in the shadow of Christ. And yes, I'm concerned about stuff. But I'm not, you know, again, ripping my hair out and depressed and anxious. I really believe Christ is the Lord of all history. And that he knew this would happen. He knows, obviously, what would happen. We always pray, thy kingdom come. And it doesn't matter what your last time's theology is. Jesus is coming. Everybody agrees on that. Jesus is coming. We might disagree on when and how and all that kind of, but Jesus is coming again. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And I just know that Jesus is the Lord of history. And so as I look at the free fall of our nation, I can mourn it, but I'm in the shadow of Christ. And I'm not overwhelmed with grief and with worry and, again, pulling my hair out kind of a thing. I do believe that Jesus is in the driver's seat Not the president, not the Congress, not, you know, Senate and House of Representatives, not the governor, not the global elite. Jesus is in the driver's seat. And I that gives my soul great, great comfort. So Christ is the hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, streams in the desert, and a shade in the parched land. So you'll notice that we have a king who's going to rule righteously, and verse 1, the second part, and princes who will rule justly. If Christ is the king reigning righteously, you are the princes and princesses ruling justly. I had to, let's go to that next slide. Yeah, I had to be politically correct. Princes and princesses, okay, so there we are. Because you'll notice there in verse 2, the first word, each. Now the word each is referring back to verse 1, speaking about kings and princes. Not only will the king reign righteously, the princes will rule justly. You are to be a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, streams in the desert, and shade in the parched land for others. You're to be a windbreaker, not a windmaker. You're to be a shelter in the storm, not someone who stirs up the storms. But unfortunately, aren't there people in your life who aren't the windbreakers, they're the windmakers? And you need protection from them. They're not the shelters from the storm. You need shelter from them because they're storm makers. You're to be a stream in the desert. And I found some people that they bring more drought into the room than they do bring strings, and you're to be a shade for people and not heat in their lives. Now, I've noticed this in my own life and in other people's lives, is that you minister out of what Christ has touched in you. You minister out of what Christ has touched in you. Christ is your hiding place from the wind. He's your shelter in the storm. He's the water in the desert. He's the shadow in a parched land. And Christ wants to be all of these things to you. And I think that so many of us have a testimony that he is my hiding place in the wind, the shelter from the storm. He is my streams in the desert. He is my shade in the heat. And when Christ has touched your life in that way, and you've been the beneficiary, you've had Christ bless you like that, you can in turn turn to others and bless them as much as you can. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 1:4. God comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God comforts us in all our affliction. In your winds, in your storm, in your times of drought, when the sun is beating down on you, Christ has ministered to you in all of those situations. And Paul says, I've received from Jesus. I've learned from Jesus. And so when I'm with the brothers and sisters and the wind is blowing and the storm is breaking and it's dry, and they need shade from the sun, I can be that for them as much as I can. You know what I'm talking about. You're not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. But we're the channels of Jesus. We're the vessels of Jesus. And I know that Jesus wants to be that for you. And I'm going to partner with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit to be what he wants to be to you. And so when I guess I could probably, I've never thought of it like this before, but anybody I meet with in my office or, you know, in the lobby or whatever, and they're going through trouble and difficulty, I guess I could ask myself, is this a wind? Is this a storm? You know, is this a drought they're going through? Is the sun just beating down on them and they need shade? And obviously there's all kinds of overlap with those things. But I want to be like Christ to them. Because the kings will reign righteously, the princes will rule justly, and each will be like this. Not only will the king be these things, but the princes and the princesses too. So we have like a ministry paradigm, a ministry pattern that's given to us here in this verse. What he has touched in you equips you to serve others. It's not what you've gone through, but what has gone through you that prepares you and equips you to be a windbreaker, to be a shelter in the storm, to be a shade from the heat, to be waters in the to be streams of water in the desert. All of us go through stuff, but not all of us learn through the stuff we go through. It's what's gone through you, where Christ has tutored your soul, where Christ has discipled your spirit, where you've received from Christ, and he's given you wisdom now to be able to move into other people's lives. You know, the greatest preparation for ministry, whether you're a pastor or I just want to be a Christian brother or a Christian sister. You know, when it gives the requirements for elders in 1 Timothy and Titus, those aren't super Christians. Every man in the church should have the qualifications of an elder. That's not like super Christian stuff. It's just, this is normal Christian maturity. And I believe all of us should be a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, streams in the desert, a shade from the heat. And that's what Christ has called us to be toward one another. Trials don't automatically translate into wisdom. And I think what we have here in verses 1 and 2 is a great picture of spiritual leadership, a great picture of ministry, whether it's offered by a pastor, an elder, a home group leader, a friend, or a parent. Parents, you're to be like this to your kids. Friends, we're to be like this to one another. Protection from the wind, the storm, the drought, and the sun. This is the community of Christ. Like kings, like princes and princesses, we're to be like Christ too and for one another. I have been protected by other brothers in the body of Christ from certain winds that have blown. I remember a number of years ago, there was another Calvary Chapel pastor who got goofy. I can't even remember the story, but he got goofy on something. And so we met, and I had some strong words for him. I wasn't harsh, but I had some hard words to say to him, and he didn't appreciate it. And I didn't talk to other pastors about this. It was just between me and him. But I guess he talked to other pastors about me, and he told them that I said this and I said that. But three other pastors came to me independently, and they said, this pastor that I'm referring to, he said that you said this. And I told that man, I know Tim, and he would never say what you said. He would never say. I know his heart. I know his character. And three pastors, independent of one another, came and told me that. And they were windbreakers for me from the false accusation that this other pastor, I can't even remember what it was now, except it was false accusation. And so I just so appreciated that, because this fellow was generating this wind, you know, of let no bitter rootedness spring up. Let no root of bitterness spring up among you, you know, so that many be defiled. He was trying to defile our beautiful Calvary Chapel pastors' fellowship that we have. And these brothers were windbreakers, and nothing became of the thing. I appreciate that. Where others have been, you know, you were a shelter. In the storm that touched our family's life in 2001, and my second son was involved in an incident, and you you so closed in around Fran and I and the whole family. And there was a storm that was just battering. But you were Christ to us. And that is so precious. That was the worst time in our lives. And not because of merit, but just because of family stuff. But you were Christ. You were a storm shelter for us. And I wasn't afraid, Fran wasn't afraid to come to church. Oh, those people are going to judge us. Those people are going to, you know, those Christians down at Calvary Fremont. No, it was those brothers and sisters down there. You guys were a storm shelter for Fran and me. When there's times of drought in your life, and there will be, you know, when you don't see Christ working in you, when you don't sense, experience, discern the working of the Holy Spirit in you, other people can. And one of the chief ministry strategies I have when people come in for counseling and for guidance and whatnot is to listen to their story and to say, hey, look, you think Jesus isn't moving at all, but look at this. And this is your words. And look at this and this part of your story. Don't you think that was God doing something? Well, yeah. You don't see God working, but I see God working in your life. And I want to affirm that. I want to bless you in the name of the Lord. He hasn't forsaken you. And those streams are still running in your life. You know, the temple was made without the sound of axe or hammer. And there's a silent work of the Holy Spirit in all of their lives. And you might not see where you're growing, but others do. It's like I'm on this keto diet now, and I might think I'm not losing weight, but my belt, it keeps cinching in more and more and more until you have this incredible hunk in front of you. No. But I think it's not working. You know why? You know, and the scale isn't even moving, but this is moving. It's going in. And I thought, well, I guess it's working. Because one measurement says it's not, but another measurement says it is. And so you might look at your emotions, you might look at your thoughts or whatever, and by that measurement, nothing has moved. But when others experience you and they experience the kindness of Christ and the mercy of Christ from you and the patience of Christ in you, they're seeing something. Never discount the testimony of the body of Christ concerning you. We can be streams of water in drought for one another. And also, we can be shade in the burning heat. Friendship and fellowship is so awesome. Paul writes Philemon, he said, brother, the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. And man, that's what I want to be. I want to be a refreshing, and I want you to be a refreshing to me. And we can be shade in the burning heat. You know, everybody, every person has a story in this room. That if you knew their story, you'd go, wow. I never knew that about you. Are you serious? You know, you did that, you know. Wow. And you were there, you know this, and it's amazing. You have no idea what's walking through those doors on a Sunday morning. And people who look like they have it all together, in one instance they may, but when you probe into their story, boy, there's just stuff that's going on. And they're trophies of the grace of Jesus Christ. We can be shade from the heat for one another. And so I think when we come to church, we should ask this, or even just as we go out in life, how can I serve this brother or this sister? How can I bring refuge and shelter and water and shade? Because like king, like princes and princesses, each will be like this. So how can I be like this in your life? And to have that ministry, that ministry mindset. I love that. Christ came to be a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, streams in the desert, and a shade in a parched land. Christ also came to be a savior for sinners. I want to be surrendered to the King. I want to be surrendered to Christ. And I want to live being surrounded by princes and princesses. Wouldn't it be awesome if each and every one of you came to the church on a Sunday morning, whenever you came, and said, how can I bless Pastor Tim today? Oh, I'd be overwhelmed with blessing. Or to have that mindset towards everybody, though. How can I be a blessing to Mark today and Melanie today? What do they need from Jesus? And to have a ministry mindset. Remember Gail Irwin, one of the speakers in the Calvary Chapel, would say his mentality going to church is, I'm going to bless someone today. I'm going to bless someone today. And he had an actor's kind of a thing, which if I did it, I'd be silly. But I'm going to be a blessing to someone today. You can't stop me from being a blessing to you today. Because he didn't put it like this, but I'm going to be, a shelter, a hiding place from the wind, a shelter from the storm, streams in the desert, and shade from the burning sun. I want to be that in someone's life. I want to be that in your life. And so what Christ was in the Gospels, he is to you. Again, he's the hiding place, he's the shelter, he's the water, he's the shade, and he's the Savior. He's the Savior. God put all of the sin of the world on Christ, and he bore it away for you and for me.